It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Excellent day for an exorcism.
You'd like that?
Intensely.
But wouldn't that drive you out of Reagan?
It would bring us together.
You and Reagan.
You and us.
I mean, this movie doesn't move the needle, it is the needle.
You're telling me that I should take my daughter to a witch doctor.
Being raised Catholic? It's so taboo, and I think I love it more for that reason.
Can't you help her? Just help her!
You speak Latin?
This is my second most frequently viewed horror movie of all time.
I believe
yes.
It.
What's that?
Holy water.
You keep it away.
How on earth did this get an R rating?
Stick your cock up her ass, you motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Be silent.
I was thinking about coming over here. This is probably the scariest film I've ever seen.
Keep away. The soul is mine.
I don't think there's anyone in this room who doesn't wish they could go back to a theater in 1973 just to get the crowd reactions from this movie.
I cast you out, unclean spirit!
Show it up your ass!
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ!
If there is one film out there that came out where people went to it and came out of the theater thinking that they were going straight to fucking hell just for being in the theater while it was playing, it's The Exorcist.
Damien!
Amen.
Hello again, friends and listeners, to another Horror 101 podcast. I am your host, Cash Wampum, and I believe it would be difficult to find one of you who has not seen the film we're about to cover. Nude's birthday is coming up at the beginning of October, so for part of her birthday, the crew has agreed to focus on her favorite horror film. This film has been relentlessly studied and analyzed for nearly 50 years. It was a commercial success at its 1973 debut, and even now remains one of the most controversial films ever released. Many people were unprepared for the brutal and raw depiction of blasphemy and evil that this film contained. It was a game changer, and we hope you'll enjoy as we celebrate the immortal power of William Friedkin's The Exorcist. And just days ahead of this recording, I had finally put my trusty, ancient Black Lincoln to sleep. She was the most reliable vehicle I'd ever owned, but the elements had taken its toll, and it was time for a dignified automobile funeral.
That reminds me, you have to pour me some more wine, because we have to toast the departure.
Please,
the
wine!
We have to post the...
We must toast yes. To its demise!
Can we raise a glass to the...
To the Lincoln.
To the Black Lincoln that has served me well for over 10 years.
The Black Beauty.
Cheers. The Black Lady.
Do you want to say a few words, Andrew?
Considering the ass on that car, we should call it Black Beauty.
I will say Beauty. A few words. Okay. Besides, she never let me stranded, ever, for over 10 years. And I bought this car for $2,000 cash. It owes me absolutely
fucking
nothing.
Tank.
Yeah. It owes me absolutely nothing. It was the best car that I ever owned, and now she is gone. I've sold her off to the wrecker. Is going to part her out.
But... And,
to the Black Lincoln of 98.
Cheers.
To our lady.
What a piece of junk.
She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid.
So we are here to celebrate, I guess, Nude's birthday, early birthday. Woo! Present.
Happy birthday.
Early birthday.
27.
Present. Oh my, 27 again? Again, pants?
Again.
And isn't it...
Andrew, you cradle robber.
Isn't it apt that where you sit for the podcast, there's the Exorcist poster right behind you?
Yep.
Because this has been your favorite horror film pretty much since I've known you.
Yep.
Since forever. Here's a good question. Do you remember the first time you saw The Exorcist?
I can't really say I'm ashamed, but I think I told you, all of you, like, I wasn't really allowed to watch horror movies when I was younger. My dad was really strict. He thought that any types of those movies were just horrible and you shouldn't be watching it. So it wasn't until, like, my early 20s that I actually watched this movie.
Like, did you watch a lot of horror movies before your early 20s?
Well, he used to go away every winter. He'd go away because he'd visit his family overseas. So that would be, like, the time. My mom was pretty cool. She's still pretty cool. But she'd let us watch horror movies. So in those 3 months, I was just watching them. But she wouldn't let us watch a lot of, like, this one she would never let us watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because we're Catholic. And she didn't think it was appropriate. So, of course, and it's always on your mind, right? So when I was at my girlfriend's house one day, we were like, let's watch Exorcist, and I was like hooked because of the fact that it's like so taboo. Like, everybody is telling you, your parents especially, don't watch this; it's bad. And then it almost makes the Catholic Church not really look bad, but it's like they weren't going to help, and then they were going to help. Did this thing really happen? And you start questioning, how does God let this happen? You know what I mean? You kind of just, you question your own. I mean, I've been questioning my faith forever. Like, it has nothing to do with The Exorcist, but, you know. But I think just because it hits, doesn't hit close to home, but because being raised Catholic, it's so taboo. And I think I love it more for that reason.
I don't think there's anyone in this room who doesn't wish they could go back to a theater in 1973 just to get the crowd reactions from this movie.
I remember reading about that, yeah. People just lost their shit.
Oh, yeah, people were passing out.
Yeah.
I would honestly not only go back to 73 to watch it, I would love to go back to an ultra-conservative area of the country to see somebody's reaction. Like fuck New York or San Francisco.
Like someplace in Texas.
Texas, Mississippi, Missouri, somewhere like that.
And the just, Bible Belt.
Yeah, and just as, like, I mean, you have to dodge bullets afterwards or fucking snake charmers or some shit.
Or they're setting the building on fire.
Yeah, like...
Well, you've heard about all those reports about The Exorcist and the trouble it's causing, people fainting and so forth. I went to check it out. The manager of the National Theater in Westwood says that there indeed are at least a dozen people who faint or become ill during every showing. But The Exorcist is still drawing sellout houses for every performance, complete with lines around the block. I spent an evening in the lobby just to see if people really do come stumbling out in the middle of the picture, as reported. They did, so I asked them why.
One way or another, it's terrifying. I was thinking about coming over here. This is probably the scariest film I've ever seen.
Is it scary as much as it is, oh my God?
No, I find it... I'm not religious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm agnostic, bordering atheist. Like, that's where I lay.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this terrifying. Helen was talking about the scenes of the demon's head being imposed. Like, I still remember where Chris comes home and turns on the kitchen lights, and it's just over the range hood.
You see the
demon, Pazuzu, or whatever it's called.
Pazuzu.
Pazuzu. And it scares the shit out of me.
And Eileen Dietz.
We met her.
Eileen Dietz was the face.
Was the face.
Yeah, she was at the one.
She was at the con.
Yeah, she was at the con, yeah.
I'm not... Like I said, I'm agnostic, boring atheist, and I honestly find this the most terrifying film ever.
If there is one film out there that came out at around this time, where people went to it and came out of the theater thinking that they were going straight to fucking hell just for being in the theater while it was playing, it's The Exorcist.
People believe that it's true,
yeah.
And the masses, because that's all they know, and being preached, for lack of a better term, by the Catholic Church and its teachings, they just know that if this is something that possibly could happen, and it freaked the fuck out of everybody.
You couldn't make The Exorcist today the way I made it. It would have to be ludicrous, the way all of these Exorcist sequels and ripoffs have been. You'd have to escalate all the special effects. It would all have to be so wildly supernatural and without any kind of realistic base. It would have to be, you know, complete bullshit, which is what these films are. they are not made by people who are exploring the idea of a faith-based society. They're just made to rip people off and sell tickets.
I know there's, but what, 4 million? 4 billion? How much do they spend?
400 million.
400
half
million.
Half a billion dollars.
What?
On
what?
On
an Exorcist universe. Yep.
I don't have high hopes for it, but I'm excited to see it.
You know what? You liked the new Exorcist show that had Gina Davis as Reagan.
I loved it.
All it did was water down something that was completely terrifying and horrifying. That's all it did.
I took it as a new look.
Yeah, we don't need it. Okay, you know what? The only look I need is that Father Karras fucking triumphed, took the evil, killed himself, only to be expanded upon in Exorcist 3. That's all we fucking need.
But you're forgetting great performances all around.
Fuck off, Ryan. Fuck off. It was not great performances. It wasn't written correctly. I don't like how they showed the demon. You know, it's always nice to see Gina Davis, but come on, man. You're trampling on some real fucking...
Well, going back to this $400 million thing,
yeah,
it's going to be a massive waste of money. The last two movies they made were fucking atrocious. Well, they made those two movies back to back. One was directed by Rennie Harlan, the other one was directed by, I don't fucking remember.
Oh, you're talking about the fourth Exorcist film. Yeah, there was like Dominion and...
Whatever.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
With Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes.
Helen's
Skarsgård. It was Paul Schrader.
Yeah, but it was Stellan Skarsgård played the young Marin.
Yes, in that story. They came out within like 2 months of each other.
Yes.
Fucking terrible.
Helen and I went to see it, and Helen loves Stellan Skarsgård, so she was kind of a fan, and I'm like, no, I didn't like this. However, Stellan Skarsgård is playing Baron Harkonnen in the new Doom.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
That is going to be my shit.
But
I'm going to be all over that
rock. That was
I can't believe they're dropping almost $500 million.
For three, is it three movies?
Three movies.
We don't need them.
No, and What's Her Name's coming back, so they're direct continuations. So everything past The Exorcist is not being considered.
And in my opinion, the more money you dump on a film, the shittier it is outside of the Marvel Universe.
And Lord of the Rings.
All right, then. So we're going to watch the movie, and I just want to start this off by saying, like, The Exorcist is one of those films where, like, I've seen it at least a dozen times. At least a dozen times. And it's been a couple of years since I've seen a few years since I've seen it, so I'm excited to watch this again.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. Expected it. Nobody believed it, and nothing could stop it.
There are no experts. You probably know as much about possession as most priests. Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
I'm telling you that thing upstairs isn't my daughter. Now, I want you to tell me that you know for a fact that there's nothing wrong with my daughter except in her mind. You tell me you know for a fact that an exorcism wouldn't do any good. You tell me that!
The one hope. The only hope. The Exorcist.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
We just watched The Exorcist.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The original Exorcist from 1973. What a fantastic film.
Still fucking holds up, still terrifying.
Yes!
Still fucking terrifying.
I was gonna say for a horror film, it's like a cozy warm blanket, really. It's
fucking terrifying.
No.
Movie.
With like spikes. I said.
even earlier in early in the film when he's still in Iraq and he's going through the bazaar there and there's the men working on the metal, just watching that and getting into it, and when they first hit that metal, it's that loud clanging of the metal. That startled me, but you know, you're aware of it, right?
Yeah.
So I still get into it.
And then they, like, they're in sync.
Dinga bong, dinga bong, dinga bong, dinga bong. And then they stop it, and he takes his hat off, and he looks at him, and you can see his one eye's all fucked. Yeah. So obviously, at some point in his career,
he's caught an ember.
Blinded him in that one eye, yeah.
What is probably the one telling of the tale moment in this for me, which is early on, and it's Max von Sydow standing in front of the statue of Pazuzu. And what I like about that scene is that after finding that statue piece that he brushes away, mm-hmm. and he feels like there's something there, he goes to visit the statue. But in order to get there, he's first confronted by two armed guards who are about to shoot him, but then they realize who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get the sense that he's in a very hostile place, and this is the birth of civilization. And now it is nothing more than a desert with a lot of hostility and aggression. And he goes to see this statue standing at the birthplace of civilization, and off in the distance we see the dogs who are trying to kill each other. It's as if the statue is the source of all this pestilence.
To be fair, they're not dogs.
Statue.
Well, they are. They're jackals.
Jackals.
Okay. A statue.
Which is also
with a snake penis.
An erect snake penis. Yes,
Thank you. That's true.
And just going back to the jackal thing, but yes. By the way, which is a biblical reference.
Yes.
So,
but it's as if saying that this statue, which is older than us, is the cause of all of our woes. That it is this malevolent force that has been there since the beginning, that has somehow corrupted us to such an extent that this once paradise is now nothing more than a desert wasteland where everybody wants to kill each other, where there's just hostility and aggression. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but he's a weak old man standing before it. It kind of tells you everything that's going to happen before it happens. So it's very a very prophetic moment, and you can and he senses it. I think you get a real, even though there's no dialogue there, I think Max von Sydow knows that he's staring to something very old and very evil. And he can feel it in the growling dogs that are killing each other.
He's already gone through it once.
Yeah, he went through it once.
You find that
and he knows it's coming again.
Hey, where'd this come from?
I found it.
Where?
Closet.
Huh. You been playing with it?
Yep.
You know how?
I'll show you.
Wait a minute, you need two.
No, you don't. I can do it all the time.
Oh, yeah? Well, let's both play with it.
You really don't want me to play, huh?
No, I do. Captain Howdy said no.
Captain who?
Captain Howdy.
Who's Captain Howdy?
You know, I make the questions and he does the answers.
We got Chris McNeil and her daughter Reagan. She's 12 years old. Chris McNeil is an actress. Mm-hmm. She's rich. She has, you know, a large home, and she's got a staff, if you will.
Going through a divorce.
Separation. The separation, if you will.
Her husband is out of the picture.
Captain Howdy, do you think my mom's pretty? Captain Howdy? Captain Howdy, that isn't very nice.
Well, maybe sleeping.
You think?
Did you find that the whole thing about Reagan needing help was kind of abrupt? Because it went from her, like, oh, well, I found this
Ouija board.
I found this Ouija board, and I've been dealing with this guy named Captain Howdy. And then
I also want a pony.
Horse girls are crazy. And then she's like, oh, let's play with this board. And then the planchette just flies off. You really don't want me to play. It's like, no, it's not me. It's Captain Howdy. It's like, whatever. And then all of a sudden, she's getting an MRI.
I don't think it's abrupt at all. I'm
like...
Well, she found her in her bed. She's my bed shake.
I will admit the transition from I'm fine, happy 12-year-old Reagan who wants a horse and, you know, to my bed shaking, to I'm getting a spinal tap is a bit abrupt.
That's abrupt.
Hey, I think we've got a guest.
You're gonna die up there.
Reagan? Oh my God, honey.
The whole thing with her coming down, telling the astronaut that he's gonna die up there, and then pissing herself on the carpet. That episode right there would warrant some sort of a medical explanation.
A type of disturbance in the chemical electrical activity of the brain. In case of your daughter in the temporal lobe, it's up here in the lateral part of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's rare, but it does cause bizarre hallucinations, and usually just before a convulsion.
A convulsion?
The shaking of the bed. That's doubtless due to muscular spasms.
Oh, no, that was not spasm. Look, I got on the bed, the whole bed was thumping and rising off the floor and shaking, the whole thing, with me on it.
Mrs. McNeil, the problem with your daughter is not her bed, it's her brain.
She's gone through the doctors. They're like, okay, we'll do a spinal, we'll do the MRI, and we'll do the CAT scan and all that shit. Well, it might be the frontal lobe. It might be this. Yeah. She might just need Ritalin. We don't know what's going on. She's like, well, hold on a second. How can it be her if I jumped on the bed and it was moving with both her and I on it? Like, what you're suggesting is not possible because I was in the situation.
You also forget I work with lawyers. Individual human testimony is lowest on the totem pole of evidential.
Well, I mean, we have to assume that what she's saying is correct.
People are not reliable in stressful situations.
All right, let's see what to do. Keep away! The sow is mine!
Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me!
Back!
So the reason why I love this movie is because everybody in this film acts exactly like they're supposed to be.
In the real world.
Exactly.
We still think the temporal lobe.
Oh, what are you talking about, for Christ's sakes? Did you see her or not? She's acting like she's fucking out of her mind, psychotic, like a split personality or...
The big theme with this is the same thing that I like about Tom Holland's Child's Play, is mom coming to terms with the fact that her daughter is either cuckoo and or dangerous.
Well, I don't think she comes to terms with it at all.
Well,
she doesn't know what to do.
She's got to deal with the situation.
Even then, she doesn't know. She's out of her element. She completely... Yeah, she's completely fucked. She doesn't know what to do.
Do you have any religious beliefs?
No.
What about your daughter?
No. Why?
Have you ever heard of exorcism? Well, it's a stylized ritual in which the rabbi or the priest try to drive out the so-called invading spirit. It's been pretty much discarded these days, except by the Catholics, who keep it in the closet as a sort of an embarrassment, but... It has worked.
You're telling me that I should take my daughter to a witch doctor?
When he's saying that, the look on his face is like, I don't believe a single fucking word that's coming through my mouth. Right,
he's
now.
Skeptical of the whole situation.
He says it, he's skeptical as he's saying it.
But at the same time, he's out of answers.
Yeah, but he wants to play the doctor. I'm the doctor.
He's passing the buck. He's passing the buck.
So, but he doesn't believe it.
There's
he's
nothing got else that she can do.
Grin on his face, like, I don't believe a word I'm saying right now.
Every test that they give him, the girl suggests that physically she's normal. Her brain is normal. Her blood is normal. Everything is normal.
There's nothing growing.
She should not be having these problems. So, where's it coming from? Well, it's probably mental. It's time to talk to a psychologist or an exorcist.
Burson suffered permanent spine injury from the film because she got pulled landed on her coccyx.
After she smacks her and she hits the floor and she screams.
That's really her screaming.
That is
yep.
So that is pain that you're hearing.
You know what she did? Your canting daughter!
You know what she did?
Your cunting daughter
is like...
I've never heard it said like that before, cunting.
Yeah, your cunting daughter is like, I've had enough.
So can you imagine in 72, you get a daily of a 12-year-old girl masturbating with a cross saying, suck cocks in hell. And the executive's like, yeah, keep going with this.
It was fuck Jesus.
You're a friend of Father Dyer's, right?
Yes, I am.
Pretty close?
Pretty close.
And, how do you go about getting an exorcism?
Well, the first thing, I'd have to get him into a time machine and get him back to the 16th century.
I didn't get you.
Well, it just doesn't happen anymore, Miss McNeil.
Oh, yes? Since when?
When she approaches Karis and she's like, I need spiritual help, you know, and she's dancing around the subject because she's afraid to sound crazy. This is her last hope. So she's like, I need an exorcism. I need the priesthood to come in and solve the situation. And he's like, no, she needs psychiatric care. And that when she blows up at him.
And that's why that's my favorite theme of the film, is that everything, everywhere she turns in this film, scientific or spiritual, passes the buck back and forth.
And that's one of the elements that I like about this film, is like, I feel for this lady. I don't have kids, but I feel for this lady trying to do whatever she can to help her daughter, because her daughter's just spiraling out of control.
Could you see her?
Yes, I could. I could see her as a psychiatrist, but I can't.
Oh,
see
not
her.
A psychiatrist. She needs a priest. She's already seen every fucking psychiatrist in the world, and they sent me to you. Now you're going to send me back to them? Jesus Christ, won't somebody help me?
No, you don't see. You don't understand.
Oh,
your daughter.
God, can't you help her? Just help her.
To be entirely honest, the entire story is centered around Father Karis.
Absolutely.
Because it shows him, you know, talking to the... He even openly admits to the Monsignor that he is doubting his faith, that he wants to leave his position, he wants to be transferred.
Yeah.
Because he has lost faith.
The movie is the exorcist, not the exorcism of Regan McNeil.
Exactly.
And it's also not the exorcists, plural.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's the exorcist.
Hello, Regan. I'm a friend of your mother's. I'd like to help you.
You want to loosen the straps, huh?
I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Regan.
I'm not Regan.
I see. Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karis.
Where's Regan?
In here, with us.
Show me Regan and I'll loosen one of the straps.
Your mother's in here with us, Karis. Would you like to leave a message? I see that she gets it.
If that's true, then you must know my mother's maiden name. What is it?
Like, and even after the pea soup throw up goes fucking flying into his mouth, he's still like, yeah, well, I sprinkled regular tap water on her and she reacted violently, so it's in her mind, you know. I 6 months under observation, and mom's like, listen, I tell you what, you take a perfect copy of this girl, and I'll tell you it's not my daughter. Whatever you need to do, and whatever is upstairs is not my fucking daughter.
Yeah.
So you gotta help me out here, man.
I told Regan that was holy water. I sprinkled it on her, and she reacted very violently. It's tap water.
What's the difference?
Holy water's blessed. And that doesn't help support a case for possession.
Doubting Thomas.
Yes.
Exactly.
He's a Marin, skeptic. He's a skeptic.
Or Karis is the doubting Thomas in this story.
Yeah. He can't. He doesn't have it. He was doubting his faith.
Exactly.
So you cannot say that it was Catholic focused. It was
no,
not.
That's, it's because he was a priest and they sent him to the world of science.
Exactly.
Which then engendered doubt.
Yeah. And then he said it, the opposite happened. I'm a priest who sent me to school. So that's the thing. So, and he was actually struggling with his own faith, his own demons, for lack of a better word. So it's not a preachy type of Catholic church thing. It's just an element of the movie. But I think it's more just literally this woman trying to figure out what the heck is wrong with her kid.
Who are you?
No one there!
It's a language, all right. It's English.
What do you mean, English?
It's English in reverse. Listen.
Give us time! Let her go! I am no one! I am no one!
He even tells the Monsignor, he's like, it fits everything that we suggest should be involved that requires an exorcism. You know, it's like, would you want to do this yourself? It's like, yeah, I suppose so. It's like, well, okay, if we agree to do this, I think somebody senior, somebody with experience in this matter, should be in there. So they want to bring in Marin, and then his boss, who he was trying to convince that he's like, I'm no good for this job, suggested, well, Karis came to you with the case. You want Marin to go in as the senior, that's fine, but...
He was the Monsignor and the Bishop at that
point. Yeah, and the Monsignor's like, but I think Damien should be good to be in there with Marin because he's a psychologist. It would be good to have that perspective in the situation.
No, all he said was so he could assist. He didn't say anything about psychologist. It was so he could assist.
Well, this pickle says you're wrong.
All right, well, I think everybody else in this room says you're wrong.
Okay.
Whoa.
But I'm
you're making up shit. So.
Trial by combat.
Next.
The other part I really like is when Father Marin arrives in the taxi, and everyone remembers the famous shot with the mist getting out of the taxi cab. But I like the very next shot where it shows Regan staring into the camera, aware that he's just arrived.
Yeah, like, okay, it's like, okay, I've called him out, he's here. Now we've got to do battle.
And she doesn't say anything. As soon as he walks into the door, he can hear the commotion upstairs before we get there.
I'm Mrs. McNeil.
Yes.
I'm Father Marin. Thank you.
When she opens the door and it's just a silhouette, like, he almost seems fucking creepy in the fog when she opens the door, you know, like, who the fuck is this? He was like, yeah, I'm here to help, but he's a shrouded figure in a foggy night. You're opening your door to this guy. It's like, yeah.
And even that scene in itself, in any other horror film, that would be a scene of horror. But in this, he's a welcoming presence.
Especially important is the warning to avoid conversations with it, even. We may ask what is relevant, but anything beyond that is dangerous.
The demon is a liar. He's a liar! But you will also mix lies with the truth.
A psychological attack.
We must be ready.
I think it might be helpful if I gave you some background on the different personalities Regan has manifested. So far, I'd say there seem to be three. She's convinced that
there's only one.
He's like, well, I think that there's three manifestations. He's like, no, there's only one. And that's it. Yeah. So don't worry about it. We're going to go in and battle this.
I'd like you to go quickly across to the residence, Damien, and gather up a cassock for myself. Two surplices, a purple stole, and some holy water. And your copy of the Roman ritual, the large one. I believe we should begin.
Do you want to hear the background of the case first, Father?
Why?
The look on his face, he's heard all the stories, but I think when he walks into that room, he's got this look of horror on his face that what he's heard has not been as bad as what the reality is. And he's got this look of, he's trying to keep it together, but it's a look of just dawning horror.
Stick your cock up her ass, you motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Be silent.
Oh, there were people thinking that for sure they were going hell just because they watched this film.
Oh, yeah.
dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
My question, with the subject matter, how on earth did this get an R rating instead of an X rating?
Your mother sucks cocks in hell, Karras, you faithless slime.
Come on to me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy Lord.
Honestly, my favorite scene in the whole movie was when the bed levitated.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because when they're doing the prayer.
Karras was convinced enough to bring it to his superiors.
But still skeptical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He told, you know, his superior, I've lost my faith.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. So for him to suddenly have that realization, that's my favorite moment in the film. It's just that look of that deer in the headlights, Jesus fucking Christ, all of this shit is real moment.
Father Karras. Father Karras.
Damien, the response, please, Damien.
Do not my cry come unto thee.
And even after that, when he's watching her head fucking spin around in a 360, yeah, and Father Marin's reading the prayer and requires a response from the secondary cloth, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, fucking snap out of it, Damien! It's like, amen.
Damien!
Amen.
God, defender of the human race! Oh, look down in pity.
You killed your mother.
I'm your servant.
You left her alone to die. Shut up! Shut up! Bastard!
Father Marin identified that Damien was not able to handle it because he was just too personally involved. And I think you, when you brought it up, I never realized, but the angle of the camera
mm-hmm.
making Damien look like a child.
Yeah.
Isso é películas menos. Na pasto crevate.
You're not my mother! Don't listen.
Why, Damien?
Damien!
Damien, please!
Get out.
You need to get out of here. So Karras leaves, and Mom's like, Jesus Christ, is she going to die? And he's like, no, she's not going to die. So he goes in, and fucking Karras is, Marin is dead, you know? And he's trying CPR, he's banging on the chest, he's trying to revive him. And I like how Reagan, or the demon, she starts laughing at the situation.
If I could just quickly, that was the other one I was going to pick, was that laugh, because it's both the innocent and the profane, because it's a mixture of a child's giggle. Like, that's what a child sounds like when a child's done something.
Yeah.
Giggling like she's like a little innocent girl who's been caught out on something. And then there's the demon.
You son of a bitch! Come into me! God damn you! Take me!
He gets what he wants. He's like, come into me. And she starts crying. She's no longer possessed. You see, his eyes are going. He's got the demon in him. He looks out the window, a flash of his mom, and he's like, no, this ain't gonna happen again. Fucking throws himself out the window and takes the best tumble in horror history. Right, Pants?
Right.
Sorry for having offended God with all the sins of your past life. He goes to himself and will not be this for Christ's due. Nobody bothers that, baby. Deserve you.
And another scene for me, honorable mention, just Father Dyer, just the emotion of giving him his last rites, and it's like, oh my god, it was like, so I was like, I was getting all teary. Like I said, I've watched this so many times, and it still gets me. I know it's coming, I know it's gonna happen, I know what Father Dyer is gonna look like, how he's gonna sound, I know how he got that way, what Friedkin done to get him that way, I get it, but it's still emotional.
He couldn't get it right, and Friedkin was like, this doesn't feel correct. You know, like, this is a friend of yours, you know he's dying, you're holding his hand.
Stole whiskey for him.
I need to believe that you are really emotional at this point. And the guy was not a good enough actor to convey that. So he asked the guy he's like, do you trust me? And the guy's like, yes. He's like, okay. And he hauled off and fucking cracked him in the face. Like, fucking slapped him really hard. And the guy just wanted to fucking deck this guy, but he looked at him and he's like, okay, now do the scene. And they rolled the camera. So what you're seeing is the actor having been smacked by the director doing the scene. And he's like, my adrenaline was going and I was shaking. And that's what they filmed. So when you see the guy, he was like all shaking because the director just fucking cracked him in the face. There have been testaments from people who have made The Exorcist that there was several people. Jason Miller was one of them. He did not like how William Friedkin directed the film. And part of it was like, there were certain scenes, like when the phone went off and Karras, he jumps and looks back at the phone in surprise. The way that Friedkin got a legitimate reaction out of that was to fire a gun on the set, and the guy, that was his reaction to a gun going off behind him with the camera rolling on
him. William Friedkin famously did not give a flying fuck about safety. In The French Connection, the famous chase in which Popeye Doyle is chasing the L train, that was not, there were no permits for that scene. That was a completely guerrilla shoot, and all he had were two stunt cars following the lead car down very real streets with real people. What you're watching there are people whose lives were legitimately in danger so he could shoot this illegally. That is an illegal shoot that you're watching.
So, the important thing to take from this is that William Friedkin is insane.
And a dick.
Yes.
And an asshole. But also, good director?
Yeah, he's talented. He knows how to put a film together.
He does know how to make a good film.
Father Dyer. You go to films?
Sure.
Well, I got passes, you know. In fact, I got a pass to the Crest tomorrow night. Would you like to go?
What's playing?
Wuthering Heights.
Who's in it?
Heathcliff, Jackie Gleason, and in the role of Catherine Earnshaw, Lucille Ball.
I've seen it.
Yeah, we're scoring a shit.
We're scoring The Exorcist?
All right, Paul B., let's start with you. Let's score this Exorcist.
There's only one score it can be.
Come on, man.
It can only be a 10.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the only horror films that cannot.
I was about to say the exact same
thing. Legitimately, honestly, be a 10. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. This movie is the most terrifying horror film. It's not my favorite. Not my favorite horror film. I couldn't even say it's in my top 10 favorite horror films.
Okay.
But it is the scariest film I've ever seen. I'm not even somebody who's religious. I'm not even somebody who's remotely spiritual. But it still works on that level for me. It's terrifying. And whatever minor nitpicks I might have, like I mentioned about her head twisting all around and how is she okay post-possession, I can put that aside because everything else listed up. So, yeah, 10.
Well, he does know the background. I doubt there's any danger in just having him assist. Should be a psychiatrist present anyway. What about The Exorcist? How about Lancaster Merrin?
Nick? I know. This is one of the most epic films that we've covered, certainly.
Oh, no, it's the most epic.
I would agree.
No, slowly give it a 9.5. Specifically because of the point that I was making to Paul earlier. Everybody else gets more time and character development than the person who's actually possessed. And it went from, she's perfectly fine, she's peeing on the carpet, she's getting a spinal tap, like, way too... The passage of time is a little slapdash.
Which is odd for a film that's 2 hours, 15 minutes.
It just felt a little jarring, because I felt like everybody else, I got the sense of what was going on. Like, it went from, oh, here's Father Karras tending to his mother and her leg, to, oh, something happened, and now she's in, like, basically an insane asylum, to, oh, she died.
Mm-hmm.
There was this middle point in the movie where it just felt like they skipped over, like, a fucking month and didn't tell us about it. Literally the only part where this movie falls short for me. Everything else about this movie, I fucking love. Cinematography, mwah, chef's kiss. Direction, amazing. Like that, even that beginning, the fucking tracking shot of that kid running through the catacombs when they're doing the dig. Yeah,
that's
like the tracking shot is great. You know, setting up Marin is great. The reverse, like, audio, like, so much about this movie is fucking amazing. If they'd just taken a little bit from all of this other exposition that they were doing and these tracking shots that they were doing and give another couple minutes to giving me the indication of the passage of time, I would give this a 10 any day of the fucking week.
You show me Reagan's double. Same face, same voice, everything. And I'd know it wasn't Reagan. I'd know in my gut. I'm telling you that thing upstairs isn't my daughter.
Brian Stewart?
I ask you a question.
Yes.
You've known me for 10 years doing this show now.
Yes.
What is the ultimate thing I look for in horror films?
The telling of the tale.
After the telling of the tale.
Kids in peril.
Yes, child endangerment.
This
is the ultimate
child endangerment for you, buddy boy.
This is the ultimate child endangerment movie. You know, it almost feels, I don't want to grade it almost, but if I have to, I'm going to give it a 10.
Yeah?
It's that important. Yes, I understand there are pacing issues, but I have to, for a movie to be this effective without all of the signature things we typically look for in a horror film, this is not a gory film.
No.
It has a lot of implied violence and the
barf.
We don't really see...
The pea soup puke in the mouth is about as gory as it gets.
Well, the crucifix, right? You get blood there.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I mean, so...
More in her mom's face.
Yeah. So, but it's effective without doing all the typical things we would see in horror. And it's all atmosphere. And it's all the horror of being unable to help your child. Like, you being completely and utterly helpless watching your child get destroyed by something you can't even understand. Like, this goes beyond disease, because even science can't give it a name.
Yeah.
So, I can't even begin to imagine the anguish that Ellen Burstyn must have been going through as the mother of Reagan. Science has no answers, religion has no answers, no one has any answers, but clearly something is wrong, and that's not my daughter, and there's nothing she can do. Her desperation, I think, is what really fuels this movie for me. More than the special effects and more than, you know, Regan's behavior and the swearing and all of the things that people typically love and elevate in this scene, like the backwards crab walking or the 360 degree head rotation, that's all window dressing for me. This movie would not be as successful if it wasn't for a concerned mother who is at the end of her rope.
Yeah.
That has no idea what to do. And everywhere she goes, people are passing the buck. I can't even imagine how excruciating, how infuriating that must be. And that at the end of the day, her champion is this elderly priest on heart medication who's at death's door. And that's all she has. That is her is her white knight.
Him and Karras.
And Karras. Karras, who's a doubting priest.
Yes.
Right? So probably the two frailest champions for her cause are what are going to save her and her child.
I'm just waiting for a third priest to show up and just walk up to Reagan and be just like, bitch, you doomed.
It's just... There's
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for her. Her plight, I can sympathize
with.
No. So, but, I mean, this movie doesn't move the needle, it is the needle. I think all of horror can be kind of gauged off of The Exorcist, and given the its importance, I can't give it anything else. It has to be a 10.
It's more than psychiatry, and you know that, Tom. Some of their problems come down to faith, their vocation, the meaning of their lives, and I can't cut it anymore. I think I've lost my faith, Tom.
Nude, this... Oh. This is
your favorite horror film. What would you give it, Helen?
This is your favorite horror film. Obviously, a 10. Can I assume a 10?
If I could give it a 10.5, I would. But yeah, absolutely. It's my all-time favorite horror movie. It's all the elements of it, and you're absolutely right. There's no gore, but it's terrifying. Like exactly as Paul said, very suspenseful, and it's like your heart is pumping, even though I've seen it. I don't know how many times. I still get, oh my god, you know what I mean? I still get nervous. I'm still like, my heart palpitations. I get emotional. I feel for all the characters. They picked a great cast. The screaming, the religious overtones, but the skepticism as well. And it's a perfect blend of everything. And it's kind of like my own perspective of like the Catholic Church. I am obviously Catholic, but I don't go to church. Doesn't mean I'm not Catholic. Doesn't mean, you know, I treat people well. I'm a Christian, you know. I believe in God, but just because I don't go to a Catholic church doesn't make me any less of a Christian type of thing. So I think it's just the faith aspect of it kind of pulls to me. It's like, you don't... Hey!
There's a statue of Pazuzu. It's driving your cats crazy.
Jackals!
Sorry, the cats were fighting. So that's why I was drawn to it at the beginning, but from this point on, it's just been like every time I watch it, and like today, like I guys told you guys, I didn't even notice the wine racks.
The wine racks in the background.
The movie's even better than you remember it.
Even better.
Because there was wine there.
If I could give it more than 10, I would, but would I absolutely love this movie.
I'm speaking to the person inside of Reagan now. If you are there, you too are hypnotized. I must answer all my questions. Come forward and answer me now.
I think personally, I'm going to give The Exorcist a 9.5. I don't think it's absolute perfect. I don't think it's absolute perfection.
No.
I think it is... very important when it comes to the genre. Like Brian, I think Brian put it best, like there is no needle, it is the needle. Any kind of a believer in Christianity at the time watching this film coming out thinking that they were going directly to hell just for being in the proximity of this film being played. That was the mania of the Exorcist in 1973. I cannot believe that they actually got away with releasing this film as it was without an X rating. This was, I don't think anybody was prepared for what they were about to see. You know, you've got the 12-year-old girl masturbating with a cross, let Jesus fuck you, your mother sucks cocks in hell, slapping her mother, telling her mother to fucking eat her box. Like, nobody was ready for the intensity of the evil that came from this film. In closing, I just want to say I'm happy that we are able to focus on The Exorcist. If anybody who is listening to this show has not seen this film, how dare you? Shame on you.
And you're listening to the wrong fucking
shame podcast. On you. You're listening to the wrong or maybe you're listening to the right podcast, but you're not watching the right fucking films. You have to seek out William Friedkin's 1973 The Exorcist. Based on a story by William Peter Blatty, starring Ellen Burstyn, Jason Miller, Max von Sydow, and Linda Blair. This is classic horror unlike anything that we've ever covered before.
I cast you out, unclean spirit!
Show it up your ass!
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ! It is he who commands you! You plunge heights of heaven to the depths of hell!
Fuck him!
Begone!
Fuck him, Garrus!
From
fuck
this
him.
Creature of God! Begone! In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by this sign of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Damien!
Amen. We'll
Folks, there you have it, The Exorcist, one of the kings of horror in cinema for nearly 50 years. This film is what you get when you mix a best-selling author with an Oscar-winning director. Throw in a fantastic cast and crew with special effects by Dick Smith. It doesn't get much higher than this, my friends. We hope you enjoyed our look back at this classic. If you're enjoying the podcast, we hope you'll consider going to patreon.com/horror101 and giving us a pledge. All supporting listeners get access to our cutting room floor segments that we release mid-month between the shows. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wompomp saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
Is it weird that I want to be like have that as my like hello and goodbye for now? Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Yo, hunting. Hunting,
daughter. Your
mother sucks cocks in hell. Cunting ass, cunting shoes, cunting car, cunting wine.